This is Twit.
We're talking about the Apple event on Tuesday, which, by the way, cost us a copyright strike on YouTube. I don't know yet whether how that's going to come out. We for I think 12 years we've been streaming. Whenever Apple streams an event, or Google, or Microsoft streams an event, we rebroadcast their stream with our commentary on top of it. That seems to me to be fair use, because it's for use and commentary, so people can understand more than just watching the stream.
Basically, free advertising for Apple as well.
Right. And I don't think Apple should mind. However. And I don't know if it's Apple or Google, but we got taken down during the stream.
Wow.
And we're still down. So Twit Live is off right now because of that.
Wow.
We've appealed it, of course, and I do hope that we'll get back on Twit Live. But we fortunately have other streamers, Mixer and Twitch, Ustream, other place you can watch. But so if you just, you know, a little programming note, if you can't see it on YouTube Live right now, that's why. But we did watch it at 7 a.m. here because they were in Brooklyn. And
right, literally, I could throw a baseball up the hill.
Oh, did you go
right up there? No, I begged on the podcast. Apple, next time you do an event in Brooklyn, I could have done a city bike and been there in 2 minutes. Oh,
I'm just gonna say, Brian, from my personal experience, begging does not help.
Yeah, I know.
I've been to an Apple event since 2009.
Yeah.
That's all right. I don't mind. In fact, I thought the best thing we could do is to stream it and comment on it. And I think that that's a valuable thing to do. But I'm sitting there. So first of all, we already knew everything they were going to say. There were no surprises.
No.
So all you're watching at this point is for little details and maybe trying to get it some flavor. It's basically Kremlinology for what's going on. What is Apple's positioning? Because that's what these events are most in. You could read a press release that gives you the specs, the prices, the availability, and you'd be done. But what you're watching, at least what I'm watching on stage very carefully, is the nuance of what Apple's saying. They started by talking about Macs, which first was very, as a Mac fan, was very gratifying. Thought, hallelujah, a little Mac love. They announced a new MacBook Air with, frankly, an anemic processor.
Yeah, very poor spec.
Very poorly spec'd and very inexpensive, $1,199. We were hoping it would be sub-$1,000. It's not. They do have a sub-$1,000 MacBook Air. It's the old one. And then they announced a Mac Mini, which with lots of ports. We bought both. Mm. We're gonna use that Mac Mini. We're, you know.
Also more expensive.
Well, $100 more than the base model last time, which was, let's face it, 4 years ago. Last time, I think the dollar was worth less. But, nevertheless, then they go to the iPads, and suddenly everything's shiny, bright, new, faster.
And
I realized if you had started with the iPads and went to the Macs, it would have been like, oh, man, how depressing is this?
But also, it's the essential message they're pushing, which, I mean, for me, was you will buy an iPad whether you like it or not, and we're going to price and spec our systems to do it.
It felt very much to me like the end of the line on the Apple II. You remember that probably, Mike, where they had a conference. Apple had a conference in San Francisco. Apple II forever. They had a song, Apple II forever, and they killed it like 6 months later. and it was very clear to me that this is basically the end of the line for macOS.
They emphasized we're giving them what they want. Some people, for some reason, like our laptops, so
we don't get it. We don't know why.
Yeah, and for some reason they like Mac Mini, so here's another Mac Mini. But now let's talk about the future of computing, the iPad. And it was really clear.
With the A12X Bionic, which is faster than the MacBook Pro.
I predict that after all the benchmarking is done, the fastest computer that Apple makes is going to be the new iPad.
Yeah, I can quite
believe. Well, and the graphics too. Like people that a guy I know that hasn't had an iPad since like the second iPad, it was the graphics performance that he's like, all right, I'm getting one.
Yeah,
they're doing like an 8-core CPU, a 7-core GPU. They even have a machine learning core, dedicated machine learning core. It's so It seems to me that all of the real innovation that's happening at Apple is happening in those chipsets.
When I saw that the new Apple Pencil magnetically sticks to the iPad, they're copying the Pixelbook, and then they're like, and then it charges through the. I'm like, really?
Yeah, that's that was
Pixelbook's
sweet.
Pencil or pen or whatever you call it has a quadruple A battery. Did you know this existed?
I didn't until I got one of them.
What's that, the size of a baby's pinky?
It's tiny. Yes,
it's baby something. Baby's what?
Pinky.
Yeah, something.
Oh, come on.
It's very small.
Yes. I have standards. not many, admittedly. But
so it's not wasn't just me, because I love macOS, and I want to keep using macOS. Apple also had AutoCAD on stage, and they said very clearly this has the desktop AutoCAD engine in it. At Adobe's conference a couple of weeks ago, they announced Adobe Photoshop, basically all the features of desktop on the iPad.
But this comes back to what Mike was saying earlier. They want iOS because it's a nice little walled garden that they control absolutely and completely and can monetize that, whereas macOS is messy, other people playing it. And, you know, for all the talk...
Well, furthermore, they're also beholden to Intel, right?
Yeah.
One of the reasons that Apple's Macintosh line has been held back is that Intel is stymied. Can't seem to do a 10-nanometer chip. Apple was very clear. We've got the first 7-nanometer chip in production, the A12X Bionic.
Yeah.
I feel like Apple would love to get out from under Intel.
Yeah.
Oh, even
yeah.
for the Macs.
Well, Intel's got massive problems at the moment. Their work on 10-nanometer is completely stalled. Cobalt, which they were trying out as a method of getting around it, hasn't worked. At the same time, other chip companies are eating their breakfast. And they've got major supply problems on the server side because they've got 99% of the market and people are still buying those chips and they can't produce them fast enough. So, I mean, and... Plus, they've lost their CEO in rather unusual circumstances. So, yeah, Intel just seems to be flailing at the moment. I don't blame Apple for trying to dump them.
The other thing is that they're grappling with a new generation of people who, like you were saying earlier, only want to use their phones. They grew up with touch devices. They only remember touch devices. There are lots of kids these days who never used a mouse before. They think it's kind of a weird contraption from the Victorian era or something like that. And let's face it, this is how change really happens, is old people die and young people are born, and they're thinking, okay, in 20 years or 10 years, how are we going to get today's iPhone, 20-year-old iPhone users to buy a really expensive second computer
device
for their desk. And it's got to be something that's going to be iPhone-like. Otherwise, they're not going to buy it.
Are people going to do that? Or are they just going to have the phone?
I think...
More and more, we're seeing things like Microsoft's Continuity, Intel's... I can't remember what they call it. Samsung's little device where the phone becomes a desktop.
Right,
yeah.
Which I think is a wonderful model.
Yeah, which HP tried to do with Windows Mobile, but unfortunately died on its backside because Windows Mobile was terrible.
Yeah. Augmented reality is going to be a big thing that people use while they're sitting at a desk, I think.
So the screen will be virtual. It'll be imaginary. It'll be projected on your eyeballs instead of sitting in front of it.
That's part of it. I do think there's a future for giant iPad-like devices.
The Surface Studio will be an iPad someday.
Exactly. And I think also there'll be things like office windows will be TVs like that one. Giant screens that can be, So I think there are going to be screens everywhere. On your face, on the wall, on the desktop surface will be a screen. But, this whole touch, it's all going to be iOS-like. It's all going to be touch gestures and that sort of thing.
So, but Apple has a couple of issues. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's fine and great, but there could be a fairly long interim here before that reality comes.
Yes.
So the question is, and this has been debated, I'm not the first one to bring this up, but... At what point do they risk – Apple's always been the company of creatives and high-end professionals. It's the thing that kept Apple alive as a company in the late 90s. What's the tipping point where those people have to go away and go to someone else? And also, what is the tipping point where Apple is fine with that?
Well, Brian, wasn't that the point of the event? The point is,
that's what I'm
let's
saying.
See what's in the making. It was about creativity. It was a Brooklyn Academy of Music and the Opera House. It was you create with an iPad.